But when a story tells itself, we like to try to stay out of the way, to invoke the catchphrase of the old CBS news program, "You Are There." Our number one story in the countdown, this is one of those nights. If the court hearing about who should get to bury Anna Nicole Smith looks to you like the judge is auditioning for his own TV series, that may be because the website TMZ.com is reporting the judge has a demo tape and wants to audition for his own TV series. 3 minutes of this in uninterrupted You Are There fashion with just this brief identification of today's cast. That's the judge, Larry Seidlin, the lookalike for the old cartoon character Dr. Katz, professional therapist, with Howard K. Stern as the self-professed husband on the stand. He said today that Ms. Smith had bought two burial plots in the Bahamas, one after he died for her son Daniel and the other for herself. And the late Anna Nicole Smith as a clown. Mr. Stern taking the opportunity to say that certain videos were stolen from the Bahamas home that he shared with Ms. Smith, and that one of them, the one you see here, wound up somehow on the Greta Van Susteren show on Fox Noise. With all that out of the way, Judge Seidlin is ready for his close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Welcome to Celebritragic, a podcast about tragic celebrities, with your hosts, Adam Todd Brown and Carrie Martin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Celebritragic. I'm Adam Todd Brown.
And I'm Carrie Martin.
And we are miles and miles and miles away from each other. You're the last person I saw in Torrance at my place down here.
Before the vid broke out?
Yeah. When you had a scratchy throat and I was like, oh, we're going to all get it early. Great.
Well, it really wasn't that big of a deal then. I mean, I remember when it was talked about a couple months ago and they were making fun of it on some of like the late night shows. And they're like, oh, somebody tested positive for the coronavirus on a cruise ship and they were stranded for 2 weeks and people were making fun of them. And then literally the world became that cruise ship.
Yeah.
We're all punished for laughing.
We are all that cruise ship now. Yeah. Shit's been intense. But, at least we're not dead like Anna Nicole Smith. Wow, what a segue that was. That was...
No, very, very appropriate.
That was very smooth, I would argue.
Seamless.
Yeah, we're talking about... This is the last episode of the Anna Nicole Smith season. We had a bonus episode a couple weeks ago about the Bahamas, and now we're talking about the death of Anna Nicole Smith and all the crazy shit that happened afterwards. For the information about her death, I went to the most trustworthy of sources, which is a TV show called The Final 24. But I figure they know. They know as well as anyone else. They're a TV show. It wouldn't be on TV if it wasn't true.
Of course.
Do you remember where you were when you heard Anna Nicole Smith died? Because I don't.
I'm sure like a Chili's happy hour. Which one, though, I can't pinpoint.
How could you? Like, how could you pinpoint? That would be impossible.
They all stream into one.
Yeah, I remember where I was the day Michael Jackson died, but just because I was
me
on...
Me too!
Well, I was on a business trip in Des Moines, Iowa, so it made it a little extra memorable.
I had just walked into my apartment in Florida and had turned on the TV and it was all over the place. I don't remember the Anna Nicole Smith, though. I don't remember that thing everywhere. Like, I remember hearing about it, but like the Michael Jackson thing was like a thing. Because also people were pouring out in tribute. Anytime people like line the streets in tribute, wearing the shirts and, you know, the posters and everything out, like it's going to be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anna Nicole Smith's death wasn't quite on that level in a cultural way. So I don't think it's.
If she just would have molested more little kids. It would have been.
Yeah. That's all she had to do was molest a few kids and her death would have been a little more memorable. She'll get them next time. So
right in the afterlife.
On February 7th, let's go through the events of the day she died. On February 7th, 2007, she traveled to Fort Lauderdale, Florida from the Bahamas to buy a yacht, which seems like a weird choice given the financial circumstances she was in at the time. But I also have never had a whole lot of money, so it might have been a way to hide money. I have no idea, but that's what she was in town for.
But she always seems like she's had kind of a near do well, I'll do whatever I want when I want. I would say most of her purchases are that of like the Bobby Trendy gaudy type. A yacht does seem excessive, Like, who is going to man it?
Yeah, it's a little excessive. And were they going to just sail back? I guess sailing to the Bahamas from Florida wouldn't be that hard.
And maybe she was about to start like an Airbnb out of her place. P.S. It comes with a yacht.
Oh,
like an extra $100.
That's quite a deal. An extra $100 at your Airbnb gets you a yacht. That would be amazing.
Howard K. Stern, with all his amazing lawyer skills, like negotiated it.
That fucking guy. I actually, though, by the end of this episode, I come away from it a little sympathetic to Howard K. Stern. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people are just born a cuck, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So she arrives in Florida and gets sick immediately. One of the people they interview during this television episode is her former bodyguard, Maurice Big Mo Breithaupt, which Big Mo is such a bodyguard name.
Of course.
Like, he's either going to be named Big Mo or Tiny. And either way, he's going to be fucking 6'8 and about 400 pounds.
When I was in Chino Hills, I dated a guy who worked at my gym, who's a personal trainer named Muhammad. And when he started entering bodybuilding competitions, he went by Big Mo. And that was all of his. This is in the MySpace day. So that was his MySpace name, Big Mo.
Classy.
Naturally. And I was head over heels.
So for 2 days, she's holed up in her room with her psychiatrist, Christine Eroshevich, and Howard K. Stern. Big Mo's wife, Tasma, who is a nurse, was also present. And she shows up and goes to check on Anna Nicole and realizes immediately that Anna Nicole needs some attention. This is a quote. "I told my husband to take her to the hospital. If someone is spiking a temperature of 105, something is wrong." And yeah, that is a mighty high temperature. That seems like you're close to probably being dead. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. I think 105 is the threshold.
Yeah. Anything below 105, you're fine. Just go get yourself some chloroquine.
104.9.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about seeing a doctor. 105, death.
Yeah. Hard 105. Anything below that, stay home. But Anna Nicole refuses to go to the hospital. Instead, she stays in and takes antibiotics and flu medication. She also had an intestinal infection at the time. So, Jesus, I forgot this part. So we almost need a scorecard here. She has the flu. She has an intestinal infection. At one point, she slips in the bathtub and hits her head. So all of this is happening in conjunction with her taking just a cocktail of mental health drugs and pain pills. So Christine Eroshevich ends up leaving. She has business in California. And apparently Anna Nicole Smith freaks out about this because she wants her to stay. So to help calm her down and help her sleep, she takes a dose of chloral hydrate, a sedative that's typically used during surgery.
So Anna does this on her own recognizance, right? So she's deciding to calm herself down with this, knowing that there's a multitude of other medication in her body, which also speaks to the kind of codependency that Anna Nicole had.
Yeah, and they kind of imply that people around her didn't realize that on this particular occasion she was taking chloral hydrate the way she normally does. But I also kind of get the impression that even if they did, there wasn't much they could do about it, like other than just take all of her drugs away, which would have been the smart thing in this moment.
And back then, I don't know if mixing drugs was like known to be as detrimental as it is now.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, if sometimes you mix like one up and one downer, you can die. But back then, I mean, people could have like a cacophony of different medicines, and it was just kind of rolling the dice because you didn't really get it. I still think it was like in the infancy of it being like a thing. Not to mix medicines, but it seems like a weird thing to take. You said it was a chloral hydrate?
Yeah, chloral hydrate. It's a really strong sedative. Not what killed Michael Jackson. That was propofol. But he was probably taking chloral hydrate too. So she's taking that. February 8th, 10 a.m., she wakes up feeling a little bit better, but still weak. And in addition to all of her other medical conditions, she reveals to everyone that she also has an infection in her left buttock from injecting HGH and B12 in an effort to keep her weight down.
She is very WebMD with her self-diagnoses.
Yeah, and it seems like the answer is always more drugs.
Let's never quit drugs.
No.
Never take less.
No, of course not.
Let's turn up the volume.
So at this point, she has the flu, an intestinal infection, blood poisoning, and she's recently fallen and hit her head in the shower. So unsurprisingly, she has about 5 hours to live at this point.
So the only person really who is technically qualified to possibly weigh in on all the stuff that was going on was Big Mo's wife, who was a nurse.
Right.
Who may or may not have known everything she was on, but even the fall in the bathtub, is that something where she should have seen, like, seek medical advice to see if she had a concussion?
Well, yeah, the fall in the bathtub, like, even I've known since a kid, if you fall and hit your head, you don't go to sleep. Because if you have a concussion, you might fucking choke on your own vomit. And
they would need to drink too much, technically.
Yeah. So it seems like Anna Nicole would have been especially susceptible to all of that. So that does, to me, kind of speak to the notion that even if people wanted to intervene, they weren't going to be able to. For as much as people talk about her being taken advantage of and whatnot, there is still going to be some point where she's like, all right, but you work for me and this is my money.
You don't think she would have been so out of it that like she would have said, or somebody could have done it without her knowing? And I mean, what would the consequences have been? You're not in Anna Nicole's life anymore. It's not like she was on the up and up. She was at that point kind of a nobody again, hanging out in the Bahamas and painting her face in clown makeup.
Yeah.
It's not like Brad Pitt.
I don't know if it would have been concern. Like, maybe they just didn't want to, because if that happened, she would have just replaced those people with someone else who would have been more than happy to get her all the drugs she wanted.
But in that moment, that's a dire moment. It's not just like a regular moment.
True.
Like, that seems like it's aggressive. And again, it's easier said when I'm on the outside knowing what happens to say, God, there was a lot of stuff going on. Why there were so many people around her. Why didn't somebody intervene? Especially Howard K. Stern, if he loved her so much. If he really loved her as a friend, and I do believe he did.
Yeah.
I think it was probably part opportunistic and part friendship, but like at some point it's like, dude, my friend's hurt.
Yeah. And it's weird that in the moment she dies, no one's around.
Mm-hmm.
Big Mo's wife is there, but like Howard K. Stern is off dealing with the boat, and Christine Oroshevich is off to California. Which, that's going to obviously look suspicious to people, because there ends up being a criminal trial over this. And the fact that those two were gone when Anna Nicole Smith was this sick and this unable to function.
Right.
It's kind of suspicious.
Right. Okay, so two things with that. And I hadn't thought of that, and I think that's a great point. Did she send them away by lying and saying that somebody would be there to watch her? Because you're right, when somebody's that sick, somebody should be there to watch them. And again, if Howard K. Stern had any sort of like dealings with her death or whatever, like he didn't benefit anything from her dying, because I don't think she had any money at that point. And he had no celebrity clout without her, even if it was, you know, B, C, D list celebrity. He had nothing without her. In fact, who knows where he is now?
Yeah, it's almost the opposite of Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain, where people are like, well, why would Courtney Love murder Kurt Cobain? She had her own money. And it's like, no, she didn't. Yeah. Not at that time. Like that whole album you all know and love had not even come out by that point. So she actually had lots of motivation to commit murder. Whereas Howard Stern, I just don't see it. I don't see what the benefit. Same thing as with Anna Nicole in the murder for hire thing. Like there was no benefit for her in killing E. Pierce Marshall at that point.
So could Howard K. Stern's only motivation be the fact that he was a cuck, and that like he's just a guy who just took her from her. He didn't know how to stand up and take no, and maybe over the years he'd been so beaten down. He was like, if I say no, I need to coddle her, because if I say no, she'll just leave me completely and then I can't help her at all.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels that way. I honestly don't think there was any malicious intent, but like you gotta be there. Like in a moment like this, you gotta be there. Like, people are going to question that if you're not.
Right.
So at 10:30 in the morning, Big Mo checks in and she's sleeping next to Howard K. Stern, who is sitting up in bed. Her friend King Eric shows up a couple hours later. That's his name. He's a musician from the Bahamas.
He's a king from the Bahamas. He's royalty there.
I think he's just a musician.
It's King Eric's real name, Ja Rule.
And he's there to help her buy that yacht, which, I mean, I guess it helps having a King Eric on the bankroll if you're buying a yacht.
Any sort of royalty will do.
And Tasma checks in on Anna around this time, and the room she's in is apparently just trashed, which that's a thing you see with really tragic celebrities when it involves drugs. There's always a messy ass room. Like, remember that really famous viral image of Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown's bathroom?
I don't, but I wish I did.
It is intense. I would encourage people to look it up.
Is it like Johnny Depp, say, there in the 90s kind of trash?
No, it's just dirty. It's just dirty and filthy, and there's shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And so what no one realizes is Anna has been pounding this chloral hydrate all night. Apparently, the recommended dosage is 1 to 2 teaspoons. She would take it by the tablespoon and sometimes drink it straight from the bottle. Fun fact, this is the same drug that killed Marilyn Monroe.
Wasn't that her idol?
Yeah, that was absolutely right. Her idol. And, like, you can get away with taking that many drugs for a while, but if you have a bunch of stuff going on in addition to that, it's a terrible idea. So, reminder, she has blood poisoning, an intestinal infection, and the flu. And she's also now taking chloral hydrate in addition to all these drugs. At one point, her friend Bridget comes in because she hears Tasma on the phone with Big Mo and assumes she's talking to Anna. Bridget tries to wake Anna up, and that's when they realize she's not breathing, which that seems crazy to me. Like, Howard Stern is sitting in bed next to her this whole time. Tasma is in the room this whole time, and it's not until a third person comes in that they realize there's a problem.
But that's what happened when Daniel Smith died. I mean, he was in the room next to Anna, and obviously she was in and out of sleep. Maybe Howard was in and out of sleep. Maybe the other person was watching TV. And you just assume that they're sleeping. I'm more concerned. If she was that sick, again, like, why wasn't Tasma more on high alert? Why didn't she, like, demand there was more, like, medical service? Because even for a nurse, isn't there some sort of decorum or, like, code or oath?
Yeah, you'd think there's got to be some kind of protocol there, where you're expected to leap into action in a situation like that. But she didn't, at least not until they realized Anna Nicole Smith wasn't breathing. And then Tasma starts doing CPR. She calls Big Mo and tells him to come back and to call 911 on his way. He calls Howard Stern first and then calls the Hard Rock Hotel to have them call 911, which he was driving, so it's fine. I don't know why this 911 call is so funny to me. It's not funny. It's just weirdly worded. But a recording of the 911 call was released later. We need assistance to room 607 at the Hard Rock. It's in reference to a white female. She's not breathing and not responsive. Actually, it's Anna Nicole Smith. Like, I feel like they were going to come either way. You didn't have to throw in that it's Anna Nicole Smith.
But if you drop a celebrity name, you think that somehow it gets some sort of importance.
Yeah. Like, the 911 operator is going to be like, holy shit, Anna Nicole Smith. By the way, I have a club.
Right? Like, if this is a regular Anna, like, okay, 20 minutes. But, like, Anna Nicole Smith, 14.
VIP ambulance service. So they keep CPR going for 12 to 15 minutes, which seems like a long time for paramedics to not show up that close to a Hard Rock Hotel.
And it's Tampa. Like, what else do you have going on? Gasparilla?
Yeah, there's nothing to do. Big Mo comes in and realizes his wife has been administering CPR on the bed, which, as it turns out, not all that effective. If you're doing those chest compressions, the person needs to be on a hard surface. Otherwise, you're just kind of mashing them into the bed. So All of that CPR was mostly pointless. Paramedics finally show up at the same time as Howard K. Stern, approximately around 1:46.
But just real quick, Tasma did say that Anna Nicole's too heavy to, like, take off the bed. And that's why she was doing it on the bed.
Which, there's two people. I feel like they could have got her off the bed. I feel like she just fucked up.
Oh, 100%.
There.
This was her lighter years.
Yeah, these were the trim spa years. You could have just nudged her off the bed. Light as a feather.
You could have blew her off the bed.
So paramedics try more CPR and other life-saving techniques. At 2:10 p.m., she's rushed to the hospital. At 2:49 p.m., she's pronounced dead. How her death happened is pretty cut and dry. She was just taking too many pills. There was a 7-week investigation by Broward County medical examiner Joshua Perper, and he ruled Anna Nicole Smith's death an accidental overdose and that chlorohydrate was the major component. But in addition to chlorohydrate, she also had the following in her system: Klonopin, Ativan, Cerax, Valium, Benadryl, and Topamax. How many of those have you taken?
At the same time?
No, not at the same time.
Oh, 4. Did I beat you?
I've taken all of them but Cerax. I've never heard of that, but it sounds...
Okay, so you've got 6.
Sounds really cool. There was also methadone in her system, but only in her bile, which, of course, as you know and everyone else knows, that means it was ingested 2 to 3 days prior and didn't play a role in her death. Except there was a pretty important detail about the drugs found in her system. 8 of the 11 drugs, including the chlorohydrate, were prescribed to Howard K. Stern. 2 others were written for a friend named Alex Katz. The last one was written for Dr. Arosevich. And she also wrote all 11 prescriptions. And that becomes super duper important later. But before we get there, let's talk about some lawsuits. Do you remember the lawsuit over custody of her body?
I do not.
It was a circus. Basically, after Anna Nicole Smith died, her mom, Virgie Arthur, and Howard K. Stern start fighting over who gets custody of the body and where she'll be buried. And this trial is such a shining example of why we should never allow television cameras in courtrooms. The judge in this case was a guy named Larry Seidlin. And if his name sounds familiar, it's because he's a TV judge now.
Judge Larry.
And it could not have been more goddamn obvious that he was auditioning to be a TV judge during this trial. Case in point, here's the headline from a CNN article about the case from back when it was happening. If Anna Nicole Smith case is a circus, judge is ringmaster. You could have thrown the in that headline. I know it's not professional, but it still would have sounded better. This is a quote from CNN senior legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin. This may be the most ridiculous legal proceeding I have ever watched. The judge is one of the least competent judges I have ever seen. He is letting this thing meander all over creation, mostly because he seems to enjoy being on television. And Court TV anchor Lisa Bloom said, I think he's a combination of Jackie Mason and my yoga instructor. He's very entertaining. There's no question about it. But it's not about entertainment. At Court TV, we keep in mind that these are real people here. Which, no, they don't. That's her lying. But if that was true, that would be an excellent point. And sure enough, as referenced in the cold open clip we played at the top of the show, it did in fact come out during the case that Seidlin had a demo tape and was shopping it around to networks in the hopes of landing a TV show. And he was mostly known for 2 things: talking way, way, way too much, mostly about himself, and crying a whole fucking lot. Case in point, this is him announcing his decision in this case.
Richard Milstein, Esquire, as a guardian ad litem for Daniel Lynn Hope Marshall Stern, is awarded custody of the remains of Anna Nicole Smith. Milstein is directed to consult with Arthur, Burkhead, and Stern with respect to the disposition of Anna Nicole Smith's remains. However, you'll read it, but I want her buried. I want her buried with our son. There's no shouting. This is not a happy moment. I want her buried with her son in the Bahamas. I want them to be together. Dr. Purpose said he'd fly with him to the Bahamas. And the sheriff's department's indicated they're going to help. And they're going to work out the logistics and the details with mother and the two gentlemen here. And I hope to God you guys give the kid the right shot.
I will say, if I had to take a blind taste test about whose voice that was, any of the Wahlbergs.
Yeah, he's definitely got that kind of sound.
Like the unknown 10th Wahlberg.
And now here is a clip of Fred Armisen parodying Judge Larry Seidland on the episode of SNL from that exact same week on Weekend Update.
This week in a Miami, Florida court, Judge Larry Seidland awarded custody of Anna Nicole Smith's remains to the guardian of her 5-month-old daughter. Here to comment is Judge Larry Seidland.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Seth the baby. You know, as many of you know, it's been a really emotional week for me. Do I see me on the TV there? Do you see me on the TV, Amy?
Yeah, yes, I did.
You know, I thought that I came off looking pretty good. But apparently not everybody agreed. And what I'm gonna do now is I'm gonna read you some of the reviews in the newspaper. These are blurbs. Now when I read this, okay, let's keep our cool. You know, I might cry. Judge Seidland is a bozo on a bench. Who tries to hog the spotlight. I gotta look tough, mama. Wanna be like Muhammad Ali. You know, these critics are really mean. You know, they're all really, really, they don't realize, you know, we all got a lot of broken suitcases. We got broken suitcases, Seth.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, so I'm gonna keep going. Many critics said you turned the courtroom into a circus. I mean, how do you respond to that?
Oh, you know, that makes me think of growing up in the Bronx, you know. When I was a kid, I used to go to the circus every day. And you know, one time, you know, I saw a clown on a tricycle get trampled by a crazy elephant. And you know what I said? You know what I said?
What? What'd you say?
I said, I want that clown to be buried with that elephant. They should be buried together. In the Bahamas.
Judge Larry Seidland, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Set together. Thank
you. What did you get out of that clip, Adam?
Well, I remember this being a huge deal back when it happened. I remember seeing, like, this trial only lasted a few days. But that judge was such a fucking character. It was all anyone could talk about. And he, early on in the trial, makes the paternity case like a huge deal, to the point that he actually appoints an attorney for Danny Lynn Smith, who is a baby, but he...
I think 1 year old at the time.
Yeah, she was right around one.
If she could have picked, though, she still might have picked him. We don't know.
Yeah, you never know. He might have paired her with a perfect lawyer.
Do you not think that, kind of in a way, like, even though it's sad, like the perfect judge? Like, Anna Nicole's not going to have a normal judge presiding over her funeral and her body.
Yeah, you don't want some tough justice guy who's not amused by any of this.
I mean, she's got a trim spa body to bury, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's a serious matter. So you don't bury a trim spa body anywhere. So Judge Seidlin ends up awarding custody of Anna Nicole's body to the lawyer he appointed for Danny Lynn Smith, a guy named Richard Milstein. And what's weird about that is he awards custody of her body to that guy, but he just requests that Anna Nicole Smith be buried in the Bahamas. This guy could have chucked her body off a fucking boat at that point if he wanted to. So he was really rolling the dice.
Was it like a coin flip? Like, he's coming off like a 3-day bender? Like, it's such an odd choice.
It really is. Well, he was trying to make the point this whole time that what he really cared about was the kid. And it's like, that's nice, but it's also not the matter at hand. Like, you're deciding where a dead body goes, and it's not really up to you to make it about the kid, but he did anyway. And now the kid gets saddled with this dead body that I assume she's still hauling around until she finds somewhere to put it.
Hopefully she stuffed her.
Yeah, a taxidermied Anna
Nicole.
She's
like in the corner of her room wearing like a pink hat.
Yeah, doing like the trim spa baby pose. I would be into that.
With a trim spa necklace and then like Bobby Trendy, like somehow, even though alive, stuffed and yeah, like cowering under her in fear.
Like a wax Bobby Trendy.
Yes.
Or
still alive, but.
Or kill Bobby Trendy. Stuff him too.
I think that's the only way we can truly end this series. Somebody has to kill Bobby Trendy. He has to be stopped.
So with that trial concluded, it ends up leading to another trial. It's not just that the body custody lawsuit resulted in Howard K. Stern, Christine Oroshevich, and Dr. Sandeep Kapoor getting charged with crimes. That definitely happened. But like once it came out that all those prescriptions were written under different names, that was kind of a given. But something even crazier happens first. Just a little over 6 months after Anna Nicole died, journalist Rita Cosby published a book called Blonde Ambition, The Untold Story Behind Anna Nicole Smith's Death. It was published 3 days before Danny Lynn's first birthday, and it makes some pretty shocking claims. Among them, Anna Nicole blamed Daniel's death on Howard K. Stern, and that ex-employees heard her shouting, "You did this! You killed him! You caused this!"
I could see that, though. Because, like, if you're, like, a really sad mom, you're gonna, like, we've already discussed, and I'm gonna say it again, Howard K. Stern, fuck.
Beta cuck.
Emotional, verbal. He's just taking it all. It's like, that was her human punching bag. I do see that happening.
She also allegedly told an employee someone poisoned him or gave him drugs or something. He didn't do drugs. And I feel like that kid did drugs.
Oh, 100%. How could he be, I don't know, sober? Soberish? Like, he seems like the kind of kid who would, like, maybe pop a couple pills and, like, smoke pot. But, like, if you're...
He seems like the kind of kid who might do drugs to bond with his mom.
He seems so avoidant that I felt like he would want to escape it.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
You know what? We're both right, Adam. That's what I think.
Why can't we both be right? She also claimed Larry Birkhead and Howard K. Stern were gay lovers and that a sex tape of them doing the biz existed out there in the world. Even worse, they were gay lovers who struck a deal after Anna Nicole's funeral where Birkhead would get custody of Danny Lynn in return for Stern being named executor of the estate. And here's the thing. Both of those things sound reasonable. That doesn't actually sound that... Like, I don't know exactly what deal she means. I haven't read the book. I'm not made of free time. But like we talked about earlier, as much as I love a good conspiracy theory, I'm just not inclined to believe Howard K. Stern actively tried to murder Anna Nicole Smith. It would have been insane.
It's a huge allegation to publish.
It really is.
You know, like, it seems like if you're a journalist, like, what facts are you basing it on?
Right. And that becomes a pretty big deal because, like, my thinking in cases like this, like, not to bring up Courtney Love again, but here we go. There have been several books and documentaries published that pretty much say she was involved in the death of Kurt Cobain in some way. She's never sued for libel. She's never sued for defamation. Those books are just out there. And, like, that's always my question is, like, why, if there's no truth to these things that come out, why wouldn't you file a lawsuit of some sort? And in this case, Howard K. Stern did file a lawsuit almost immediately in October of that same year. So, like, a month after the book comes out, he filed a $60 million libel lawsuit in October 2007. So the book alleged that the source of the sex tape claim was Anna Nicole's nannies, and a lawyer for those nannies immediately threatened to sue and claimed that the nannies never said that. Shortly after that, a spokesperson for the nannies claimed Rita Cosby offered bribes in return for contact with the nannies, which that's a crime. That's witness tampering. In a tape deposition, Cosby eventually admitted that her sources for the sex tape claim were private investigator Don Clark of Houston and his associate Wilma Weiss-Dominey, who were hired by John O'Quinn, the attorney representing Virgie Arthur during Anna Nicole's body custody case. In August 2009, federal judge Denny Chin ruled that Cosby's actions are extremely troubling and suggests that she was attempting to obstruct justice by tampering with witnesses. So the libel case was allowed to proceed, and 3 months later it was settled out of court. So that book is out there that makes all those claims, but also the person who wrote it was successfully sued for libel.
Yeah, so some of those allegations are just so far-fetched. I mean, it's interesting, but it's very National Enquirer or Star Magazine or...
It was happening at a time where if people found out you were secretly gay, like, it was kind of, well, what else are you hiding? Like, that's what the guy from The Staircase, Michael Peterson.
Right.
The first time he got convicted, it was mostly because he was gay. Like, if you go back and watch the prosecution's closing argument, it's all about him being secretly gay and why obviously he's going to kill his wife because he's got a secret boyfriend. And I feel like that's kind of what was happening here. They were trying to make it seem like, well, if those two are hiding this, what else are they hiding? Maybe they killed Anna Nicole Smith. And it just, it seems kind of shady. But by the time that case was wrapping up, Howard K. Stern had way bigger problems on his hands. In March 2009, authorities formally filed criminal charges against Stern, Christine Oroshevich, and Dr. Sandeep Kapoor for conspiring to supply drugs to Anna Nicole Smith, prescribing a controlled substance to an addict, and a whole bunch of other shady prescription drug-related charges. And here's the thing. Howard K. Stern was initially found guilty, but only of two felony charges of conspiring to use fake names and false pretenses to acquire prescription medication. Here's a quote from him. In other words, everything related to the appropriateness of the medication I was acquitted of. Christine Oroshevich was found guilty also, but eventually Dr. Kapoor was cleared altogether during the first trial. But even those charges against Howard Stern and Christine Oroshevich, the convictions were overturned. The charges against Stern were actually dismissed twice, both by Superior Court Judge Robert Perry. After prosecutors appealed for the second time, he dismissed the conviction in 2015, arguing that the case reeks of unfairness and that the prosecutors seemed to be unfairly targeting Stern because he was a public figure.
Definitely a public figure.
Yeah, he was very much a public figure by that point.
He was a sidecar to the D-list celebrity.
And if I'm not mistaken, those charges that are filed against him, no, I guess... I always want to tie this to the death of Michael Jackson, but this all Michael Jackson died after all of this. Like even those charges that were filed, I believe, because he died. Yeah, he died June 2009. So maybe Anna Nicole is the reason why Michael Jackson's doctor got tried as opposed to it being the other way around. Look at that, setting trends. So the last thing we're going to talk about is during all of this, the J. Howard Marshall, the second lawsuit, was still carrying on. And I'm going to do my best to explain how that case unfolded. Initially, a Texas probate court ruled against Anna Nicole Smith receiving anything. But while that case was ongoing, Anna Nicole filed for bankruptcy in California, claiming that E. Pierce Marshall interfered with her inheritance. And bankruptcy cases are handled in federal court. And that court ruled in her favor and awarded her $474 million. Shortly thereafter, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals took up the case, overturned the California ruling, arguing that a federal bankruptcy court had no right to rule on the matter because a Texas probate court already did. So then that went to the Supreme Court, and they were asked to rule on one thing and one thing only, which is, does a federal court always trump a state court ruling? And they argued that it did. So Anna Nicole won that argument, but they didn't award her any money. They just agreed that the case could carry on. A month later, E. Pierce Marshall died. Anna Nicole died a few months after that. But the case carried on, and by 2011, it was in front of the Supreme Court again. This time, it didn't go so well for Anna Nicole. The court ruled that although bankruptcy court had the statutory authority to enter judgment on Vicky's counterclaim, it lacked the constitutional authority to do so. And another lawsuit filed in 2011 to bring sanctions against Pierce's estate for their tactics during the court cases was also unsuccessful. So in the end, the Anna Nicole estate got zero money from the J. Howard Marshall II estate, which that's kind of a bummer.
I feel like everything about the Anna Nicole Smith case is like a Greek tragedy, but not as sophisticated. It's like Lindsay Lohan's beach club in Greece. Tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Like it's super tragic. I mean, that's why she's the first season of this podcast. But it's also like, I don't think there's much hope for Anna Nicole Smith's reputation being rehabilitated. I think history just has the opinion of her that they're going to have forever, as good as this podcast is.
I don't know. I mean, even in death, there was like drama going on. I think if there is any sort of redemption, it's through her daughter, who, raised by Larry Burkhead, seems to have like a pretty good life and a pretty, like, looks just like her mom and has, I don't know. I see that being like the turnaround. Like she's, yeah, I see that being the redemption piece.
Yeah, that would be nice. Like, I think.
I mean, it seems to be the highlight.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like the.
Until Dani Lane gets important at 16. Go ahead, Adam.
Isn't she already older than 16?
I don't think so.
No, yeah, probably not. But just to kind of put a cap on this, the last thing I want to talk about, like Anna Nicole Smith, it gets brought up all the time, the marriage to J. Howard Marshall II and how she was just out for his money, which might have been true, but you also have to take into account what kind of family she was dealing with. Like maybe she didn't deserve half of his estate, but a deal's a deal. And she probably should have gotten something out of that transaction. And just to give people an idea of what kind of family the Marshalls were and who she was dealing with during all of that, for the entirety of this legal fight, so since like 1996, the case of J. Howard Marshall II and his estate were on the desk of Texas probate court judge Mike Wood. So for like 21 years. In 2017, he finally snapped in court while lawyers for both sides were arguing over a temporary restraining order. And this is a quote from him verbatim addressing the Marshall family in court. "I am going off the handle officially. I am tired of this case. I've told you that from the beginning. I beg you to recuse me. I beg you to recuse me. I don't want to deal with you people anymore. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I'm not going to spend a lot of time cutting it nits and gnats for people that are fighting over $20 billion, $10 billion that they didn't earn. They didn't create this wealth. It was created by a third party, and they're just fighting over it. They can't agree on anything. They can pay lots of lawyers. They can pay lawyers until hell freezes over, but they don't want to agree to anything. They just want to pay lawyers. You're going to have to figure something out to do because I just can't. I'm not going to deal with you anymore. I've had it. This is so outrageous. This didn't happen overnight. This wasn't done 4 years ago. Pierce has been dead 9 years. It's just not the way I'm going to spend my life. And a week later, he officially recused himself from the case. So for all we know, no one ever got any of J. Howard Marshall II's money. It's probably still tied up in court right now. And it sounds like Anna Nicole probably deserved it the most. Fuck these kids. They sound like assholes.
All of it's crazy, but the dad was crazy. It's the Geffen? What is the one in Malibu, the museum?
The Getty?
Yes. With all that money, and it was like tied up, and then who did he give the money to? And it's just so crazy, like all of it. You've got that much money, there is an eccentricity to you. And honestly, that judge was right. It didn't belong to any of them. And sometimes even when you create the wealth, I don't know that that's not necessarily deserved either. Sometimes that's just luck.
Yeah. I think there is a valid argument to the idea that like you should only be able to accumulate so much money. Like at some point, it's just you're kind of hurting society by having as much money as you have.
Right.
Like J. Howard Marshall II, like all of these court cases that are going on like for years and years, like I guarantee this case regarding his money is still fucking happening. And I don't imagine that any of those kids are any more worthy of an heir than Anna Nicole Smith was.
Oh, 100%. And there's got to be an accountability factor. Like your father married her. This money, you know, he chose to marry her. He chose to have an affair with Lady. He chose to do all of these things. There has to be an accountability for that.
Yeah.
Who's to say because you were born to him that you're entitled to it? He chose to marry them. That was at least a choice.
Yeah. And that's one thing I wish, like, this podcast isn't going to change anyone's opinion. I mean, it might, like, for the people who listen to it. But, like, that's what I hope people take from it is that, like, take it easy on assuming Anna Nicole Smith was just a gold digger out for this guy's money. Like, what the fuck would you do if you're working in a strip club and this guy shows up and is like, hey, you don't have to strip anymore. I'll give you like $60,000 a month. And I just want to like watch you go down on your stripper friends every once in a while. Like, who's not taking that fucking deal? That's a great deal. Better than working in a fucking strip club in Texas and having redneck oil tycoons chuck nickels at you. I assume that's how they do it.
Who deserved it more, though? The girl who barely knew him, who married him, or the children who barely knew him, who were born to him?
Yeah, they could have split
it. He can give it to whoever he wants.
Yeah, it's his call. You know what? I'll take it.
What?
I'll take it. I'll take the money. Solved.
Oh, okay.
What if we just take it?
I don't know. How do we do that?
I think we send them an invoice.
We just ask.
Yeah, we just send them an invoice for this podcast.
Perfect.
See if some dipshit like, pays
it. In lieu of this money, you could also just have Mariah Carey perform at Adam's next birthday party.
What if we do that and just less money, but still some?
Listen, we need to negotiate hard.
That's why
we need to talk about this off air.
Yeah, we should probably take it up off mic. So yeah, that's the Anna Nicole Smith story. It doesn't end well. She never got any money from J. Howard Marshall's estate. Her kid never got any.
Literally, it ends well for no one.
No. Yeah. It's sad for everybody. There's like, even with all the talk of, you know, Howard Stern and Larry Birkhead being these vultures who were sucking her resources dry, like she didn't have that much and she didn't. Mm-hmm. I assume she's not going to be racking up Marilyn Monroe dollars in the afterlife. Like, she's not that kind of celebrity. So yeah, it's just kind of a bummer ending, but that's the point. Like, all of these are going to be like, there's not,
I was going to say it's celebrity tragic.
Yeah. You want happy? Listen to the Mariah Carey podcast. Maybe we'll do another season of that soon. We only made it to the Christmas album.
We have to, and we have to have Mariah on. I know we haven't talked about it. I'm sure she would. Let's just do it. Let's have her on.
We should. I'll reach out on Twitter.
Good.
I'll tweet
Slide
at her.
Into her DMs.
You think her DMs are open?
Yeah, for sure. That's how Brian Tanaka got her.
I'll just DM Mariah Carey, get her on the podcast. It'll be great.
Deal.
Until then, who are we talking about next season? Is it still Whitney Houston?
Is it official?
I think so.
Yeah, I think we've agreed.
Next season.
Whitney Houston.
Boy, it's hard to say things at the same time via video conference. A 3, 2, 1. Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston.
Woo! That'll be depressing AF. That is just going to be a train of sadness. I mean, the 80s were cool.
Listen, if you wanted to do Celebra Happy, yeah, no one would listen.
Yeah. Wrong podcast. If you want to hear us talking about well-adjusted celebrities like the Osmonds and shit, get out of here.
Are there any?
Yeah, I think there's a few. Justin Timberlake, maybe.
Dolly Parton?
Yeah, Dolly Parton seems to have it together pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Rogers, if he was still alive.
He's not, though. He's an island in the stream now. That's what he is. It's Kenny Rogers.
Lionel Richie?
Yeah, Lionel Richie seems cool. Nicole Richie seems to still like him, I think.
And Sophia Richie.
Oh, yeah.
Dating Scott Disick. Ooh, Kim Kardashian. Let's do one about her.
You think she's a tragic celebrity?
No, celebra happy.
Yeah. Celebra successful. Season one.
We'll be like, what are the theater? The Mass, the Happy and the Sad.
We'll do an off and on
podcast. Happiness and tragedy.
Yeah, someone out there is going to tell us that's a good idea. But no, we're just here to be sad. There's no way we're here to make you happy. Sorry.
Yeah.
So that's our episode for now. We'll be back soon to talk about Whitney Houston. You got any live shows you want to plug before we get out of here?
He's doing live shows.
Where can they catch you doing comedy? Where are you going to be out?
It's a good thing that you canceled that tour. Can you imagine if we booked it?
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't get deep into booking that tour. That would have been...
Sometimes procrastination is key.
Yeah, because I had planned to start booking that like a year in advance and get all these dates set up way ahead of time. And then I just dragged my feet and then coronavirus did the rest.
Right? That's why you should never be proactive. If that's a one tip that we can pass on to people on top of not being a D-list celebrity and dying, our work here is done.
Yeah. Be reactive, not proactive. Wait for the problem to come to you and then deal with it.
And then figure out a solution while at happy hour.
Yeah.
At Chili's.
Yeah, it's the responsible way to handle things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we should wrap this up. I'm gonna go cook a HelloFresh meal. I'm that guy now in quarantine, ordering HelloFresh.
They're still delivering?
Yeah, that's why I fucking ordered it.
They're really good. They are expensive.
Yeah.
But they're good.
It's fun, though.
Healthy. It is fun. I mean, you got nothing else to do.
I got nothing else to do.
Skewer yams.
I'm just gonna go cook some. I'm gonna go slice up some vegetables and wash them and pat them dry with paper towels that are very scarce. They should start sending paper towels with those HelloFresh meals.
Because we don't have any.
Who does? It's Mad Max out here. All right, let's get out of here. Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.